the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations bring you The Eternal Light. This public service program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our story today, written by Morton Wishengrad, is entitled The Seed and the Dream and features Louis Van Ruten as Theodore Herzl. Following the dramatic portion of the program, you will hear a talk by Judge Morris Rothenberg.
Excuse me for troubling you. My name is David.
Well?
Perhaps you don't understand. I'm Benjamin David.
What about it?
But didn't they tell you?
Didn't who tell me what?
You're living in my house.
None of that, my friend. This house belongs to me. I paid the German 60,000 marks for it. I've got a bill of sale.
You bought my house from the Germans?
Yes, that's right. I bought this house during the occupation. They sold it to me.
But they sold what wasn't theirs to sell, nor yours to buy.
Well, my own house was bombed. A man has to have a place to live, doesn't he? 60,000 marks was everything I had. Do you have 60,000 marks?
No, I don't. Even if I had, why should anyone pay for what is already his?
You people certainly have a problem.
I don't like to be a problem.
Well, that's how war is.
Yes, you're right, sir. Only for you, the war seems to have stopped.
I wish I could help you, but you know how it is.
I know. I want you to know I don't have any grievance against you.
You're a generous man, Mr. David.
Am I? Well, perhaps it's easier for people who have nothing to be generous. Good day, sir.
Good day to you, Mr. David.
Benjamin David.
Yes.
Which road do you travel?
Any road, no road. What difference does it make?
I shall travel with you.
Thank you. Who are you, please?
My name is Theodore Herzl.
You mustn't mock me, sir. I can stand a good deal, but not to be mocked.
Still, my name is Theodore Herzl.
Theodore Herzl is dead.
Then don't draw away. Only the living harm you.
Dead or living, what's the difference? What's the use?
Stop pitying yourself. Self-pity is a misfortune worse than persecution.
What else have I left?
A memory, Benjamin David. 2,000 years of fire. If you are iron, you will immerse yourself in that fire and come out steel.
Very well, Theodore Herzl. I own a memory.
Yes, and something else beside. A hope. And between memory and hope stands the deed.
Yes? Tell me, Theodore Herzl. What is the deed?
Can you hear him, Benjamin David? He sings the promise of Zion, the prophecy of Ezekiel, the daily pledge of the prayer book. It is a dream which sprouts like green grass between cement stones. From under the twisted girders of broken cities it emerges. It rises on the four winds. Yes, even between the aisles of the graves of Germany and Poland, the dream breathes. Behold, I will open your graves, saith the Lord, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. They will tell you it is a myth. Do not believe them. For if you will it, it is no myth. Take it in your hand like a seed and entrust it to the soil. Let the dream become the seed of projects. And if today it is not bread, it will be tomorrow's bread. Benjamin, David, my living brother, I see a land of the seed and the dream. Sunlight and open cities, workers in the field. Where Israel no longer is a sorrow, but instead a song. Benjamin David, how does a dream begin? In sleep. On a day in the year 1895, I, Theodor Herzl, Paris correspondent for the Neue Freie Presse of Vienna, author, playwright, man of the world, was fast asleep. And on a day in January, I stood on the parade grounds of the École Militaire, beheld four soldiers conduct a man called Dreyfus before his commanding general.
Captain Alfred Dreyfus, you will hand your sword to the officer of the day.
Prisoner's sword, sir.
Alfred Dreyfus, you are unworthy to bear arms. In the name of the French Republic, I degrade you from your rank.
I, Alfred Dreyfus, solemnly swear that you are degrading an innocent man.
Officer of the day, let the sentence be carried out. Break his sword, tear away his insignia.
Yes, sir.
Tear it away, but I am no traitor. In your hearts, you know I'm no traitor. You've sentenced me because I am a Jew.
Death to all the Jews! Yeah!
That was a shout, my brother. A shout to awaken the sleepers. This was happening in the most civilized country in Europe. This was happening in modern, republican, enlightened France. And Austria was not modern. And Germany was not republican. And Poland was not enlightened. Pain, Benjamin David, is a process of education. The tear falls and it is a peculiar juice. For where it falls, the soul arises. I could sleep no more, my brother. The night was long and I was full of tossings to and fro. My flesh was clothed with worms and I was consumed in the fire I did not create. I addressed a letter to the greatest Jewish philanthropist in Europe, and Baron Moritz de Hirsch answered. I went to speak to him.
I've admired your work, Mr. Herzl.
Thank you, Monsieur le Baron.
It is not an idle compliment, Herzl. You have a deft touch. What I admire about your plays are their lightness and sophistication.
Monsieur le Baron, I didn't come to discuss my plays.
So? What did you come for?
To propose a solution of the Jewish problem in Europe.
Very admirable. Is there a solution?
Yes. A publicly recognized, legally secured homeland in Palestine.
My dear man, you're on the wrong track. The poor among our people need to be provided with work, with food and clothing. That's the solution.
Monsieur le Baron, to be plundered as a Jew and to be protected as a Jew are equally shameful and humiliating.
Possibly. I do not argue with you. But you spin words. I spent millions on philanthropy.
Do you think you help with charity?
I think so, my dear Herzl.
You breed beggars, Monsieur le Baron. You bind the lazy poor to the lazy rich.
My dear sir, Don't you think you're being rather presumptuous?
No. Your philanthropy is presumptuous. It is a condemnation to apathy, to submission.
Possibly. But your scheme is too simple and too fantastic.
Thank you, Monsieur le Baron. That's what any dream is. Simple and fantastic. Good day, sir.
Good day, my friend.
Baron Rothschild will see you, sir. Come this way.
Won't you sit down, Mr. Herzl?
Thank you, sir.
I have studied your letter very carefully.
Will you join with me?
I will not.
Why not, sir?
Because I do not like your plan.
Why not, sir?
Mr. Herzl, you cannot build without a firm foundation.
Baron Rothschild, I placed this book on your table. What holds the book up?
The table, naturally. That's just what I mean.
That's also what I mean. Little things like an apple or this book need a firm foundation to rest on, or else they fall.
Well, Herzl?
Sir, the earth swims in space and does not fall. The secret lies in movement. You cannot steer a ship that does not move, but you can steer movement.
Indeed. And you want to steer.
Oh, that doesn't matter. But someone has to teach our people impatience. 2,000 years are enough. Let the faint-hearted and the doctrinaire continue to drag the chains of servility and degradation.
Herzl, you'll forgive me, I'm sure, but I don't understand poetry. I understand tangible things.
I will forgive you, sir. But you do not forgive yourself.
What do you mean?
You tremble at the thought that you may be deprived of your rights, stripped of your possessions. You tremble because you are a special focus of contempt, and because you know that the situation will change only for the worse.
Perhaps. But I do not choose to commit myself.
You commit yourself when you hold yourself aloof. There are no neutrals in this world. I shan't take any more of your time. If you won't see this thing, if Baron de Hirsch won't, perhaps others will.
Herzl, do you always speak in riddles?
No, sir. But if you are untrue to yourself, you must not complain when others become untrue to you.
My dear Herzl, let me give you some advice. Be careful you do not become a fanatic.
No, Baron. Fanatic is a man who redoubles his efforts as he loses sight of his objective. I can never lose sight of my objective. It is the prophecy of Ezekiel, the 31st chapter of Jeremiah, the hot coal branded on the lip of Isaiah. I will never lose sight of that.
You are this new Tempest of Zion.
If you call me that, Your Majesty, I am.
Why do you come to this citadel of your enemies?
Because you are my enemy.
That's a good answer. Do you expect the German government to assist your Palestine venture?
Yes, Your Majesty.
You are hopelessly naive. Our Jews are convenient for us.
Is that why you persecute them?
Oh, come, the Hohenzollerns are civilized men. We persecute no one. It's merely that our nation is somewhat less civilized.
Yes, Your Majesty.
To be sure. As I say, our Jews are convenient. A convenient outlet for any resentment against the government. When trouble starts, there are always your people to blame. You'd be surprised how many revolutions it avoids. You see that, don't you?
I'm afraid.
Incidentally, my friend, how do you expect to lead your people to the promised land?
The way Moses led them, with a hymn.
Between us, my dear Herzl, you're talking of a flag. And what is a flag? A bit of colored rag tacked to the end of a stick?
Men die every day for such rags and such sticks.
You're very amusing. I like you, Herzl. I'd even like to help you. Too bad, isn't it? It's impossible. You're really such a great convenience.
Benjamin David, where are you?
Here.
Theodore Herzl, listen to the wind.
It blows cold.
You haven't understood what I'm saying. This is a road to be traveled. Walk further. Walk to the end, Benjamin David. The road winds over the borders and beyond the seas to Zion.
A man can't walk a road by himself.
I am with you, Benjamin David.
But you are dead.
In Poland, in France, in Romania, even in Germany, there are some that are not dead.
They might just as well be dead. Homeless like me. What's the good of it all? To endure? To suffer? To see yourself liberated? And for what? For further misery.
Stop pitying yourself. Get up and march.
I'm too weary.
You can't march. At least stand. Stand on your feet.
All right. I'm standing. But the wind is still cold.
Face it. Stand into the wind and open your prayer book.
What for?
Benjamin David, I remind you who you are. Open your prayer book and read. On your feet and read the words.
Oh, Lord, sound the great horn for our freedom. Lift up the ensign to gather our exiles. And to Jerusalem, thy city, return in mercy. Rebuild it soon as an everlasting building, and speedily set up therein the throne of David. Blessed art thou, O Lord, who rebuildest Jerusalem. I have finished.
You are not finished. You cannot be abject in prayer. The word is not to be denied. The word, Benjamin David, is Torat Chaim, the living word and the living law that is no longer imprisoned in a book.
Yes. You are right, Theodore Herzl. I shall walk further. Let us go on.
Yes, let us go on with the words of the daily prayer of Israel again in your ear. Let us traverse the bridge from the memory to the hope, from the dream to the seed and the fruit of the seed, and travel as straightforward men. Benjamin David, your progress will be laborious and full of affliction. But prove your courage and your steadfastness, for you cannot repudiate your bond. I took the first step, Benjamin David. In the year 1897, I met with Max Nordau to begin the deed that stands between the memory and the hope.
You are sure about this, Herzl?
We will call a Congress, the first Congress since the dispersion.
They will say you are mad. You're going to publish openly to the world that the problem of the Jewish people must be solved by the Jewish people.
Yes, Nordau. A people striving for existence, for honor, for liberty. A people who wish to mount to a higher grade of civilization, to forge an opening for the coming of social justice, who wish to weave progress for mankind on the loom of their suffering.
You'll be opposed, Herzl?
Yes, we will be opposed by our own people. But not by our poor, who are naked in their desperation. And Nordau, to achieve anything at all is difficult for those who are not a little desperate. Issue the call for the Congress. A full delegation from the United States.
Good, they can help train us for freedom.
The Tsarist government refuses passports for the Russian delegation.
Tell them to come anyhow.
Romania, Austria, Hungary, and Bulgaria have accepted.
It's shaping up, Nordau. It will be a Congress.
Here's more. Holland, Belgium, the Scandinavian countries, and Palestine.
We have written to the city of Munich, Herzl. Permission to hold the Congress there should come in 2 days.
Has word come from Munich?
Yes. The city of Munich has offered us a hall and has given us welcome.
Good. Nordau, we'll leave tonight and make the necessary preparations.
I think you had better not, Herzl.
Better not, did you say?
Yes. The Jewish community of Munich has just petitioned the municipal government to rescind its invitation.
This is a bad time to joke.
No, it's true. They think it might offend their good neighbors.
But the Bavarian government approves, you say?
Nevertheless, the Jewish community opposes holding the Congress in Munich.
Herzl, we can fight anyone but our own people. They must be insane.
Don't be upset, Nordau. These people go to their synagogues every day. They recite the prayer for Zion in God's name. But they mean anything but Zion. It's curious how men will belong to Judaism and fight it at the same time.
What are we to do?
Transfer the Congress to Basel, Switzerland. There's still time, Nordau.
Herzl, I'm remembering what you said to Baron Rothschild. If you become untrue to yourself, you must not complain if others become untrue to you.
Benjamin David, the greatest happiness is to be what a man is. To hide behind no mask, to learn how to honor a man without arrogance, to respect the meaning of past generations, and to live with dignity. Where are the assimilated Jews of Munich, Benjamin David? Be careful as you walk the road, or you tread on their unmarked graves. The trail is steeped in blood. How many disasters are needed to prove it?
Why do you stop, Theodor Herzl?
I have taken you as far as I can go. It is as far as I went during my life. From here, you must go yourself.
I understand.
Do you understand, Benjamin David? You must, you know. For you are a symbol. And we live and we die for symbols. And the bit of rag that we tie to a stick.
Yes, I understand.
That's good. Remember that before you may come to the land of Zion, you must first come to Judaism.
I shall remember.
Good. Now you are standing. And before a people can march, it must learn to stand.
Theodor Herzl, a wind is blowing. It is your legend.
No, it is the voice of Ezekiel and the sentence of Jeremiah. Rachel weeping for her children and the Lord answering, "Thy children shall return to their own border, for there is hope for thy future." Say to the world, Benjamin David, say it for me and for yourself. Let there be prayers in our synagogues, but in the churches also, because all have suffered from an ancient oppression. Let the idea radiate until it reaches the last wretched remnants of our people. Let them awaken from their dull brooding. Let a new content come into their lives. Let the word be repeated. Israel will live again on his own soil and die peacefully in his own homeland. And the world will be enriched by his liberation. He will become a great people, and the world will become greater for his greatness. And that which he seeks and that which he shall find will stream out mightily and beneficently upon all mankind.
Copies of the script you have just heard, as well as the talk which follows immediately, may be obtained free of cost by writing to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we present a brief message by Judge Morris Rothenberg, President of the Jewish National Fund and former President of the Zionist Organization of America. Judge Rothenberg.
Theodor Herzl, the central figure of the dramatic episode to which you have just listened, is one of the immortals of Jewish history. Leader and emancipator of his people, whose guiding thought is as valid today as it was when he first uttered it half a century ago. From the literary salons of Vienna and Paris, this aristocratic man of letters and courageous figure strode forth to champion the cause of his people, not merely to speculate upon the Jewish problem of homelessness or to proclaim national solidarity, but publicly to declare before the peoples and sovereigns of the world that the Jews were a national entity with a claim to a homeland and a corporate creative life of their own. It is this public avowal of the age-long dream of the Jewish people, this mystic hope that had burned within them through the centuries to reconstitute their national life on their ancestral soil in Palestine, which is perhaps the most important contribution of Theodor Herzl to the evolution of the Jewish spirit. Before his advent, that spirit was humble, self-effacing, inhibited. He it was who gave it expression, who directed to it the attention of the non-Jewish world, and this brought the Jewish masses to a recognition of their own national dignity and the world to an understanding of the Jewish problem. The movement for Jewish colonization in Palestine had indeed started on a small scale several decades before Herzl's appearance, but it was left for the genius of Theodor Herzl to see the problem in its totality, to formulate the vision and to fashion the instruments of statecraft and popular action, which would ultimately translate that vision into actuality. The charter for a Jewish Palestine, which Herzl asked, proved to be unattainable during his lifetime, and so the great burden which he so eagerly assumed broke his heart. Herzl died in 1904 at the age of 44, less than a decade and a half after his death. His great dream partially came true. The Balfour Declaration, and subsequently the League of Nations mandate, to which 52 nations became signatories, created the political and legal foundations for the Jewish national home, which he so ardently sought and labored for. Today, the world is on the threshold of a new era that may bring universal peace and freedom to all peoples. The Jewish people, too, look to those who will reshape the world for that decision which will translate the dream of Herzl into final reality, thus righting an ancient wrong and fulfilling the word of prophecy.
Thank you, Judge Rothenberg. The Eternal Light is written by Morton Wishengrad. The musical score was composed by Henry Brandt and conducted by Milton Catons. Cantor David Futterman was the soloist. Louis Van Ruten appeared as Theodor Herzl and Joe DeSantis as Benjamin David. The entire production was under the direction of Ira Avery. This program came to you as a public service of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Free copies of the script may be obtained free of cost by writing to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. This program came to you from New York City. This is the National Broadcasting Company. Mm-hmm.